This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 178 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, February 4th. Yes, it's a whole new month that we're doing a new episode, 2015. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. And while Marcus, it's 2 weeks, feels like an eternity, but we're back, and I'm feeling a whole lot better. I don't know what I caught in Phoenix, but it was a disaster, and I'm just now sort of starting to feel better.
Well, I'm glad you are, because I was going through withdrawals for the last 2 weeks. I felt like we've neglected the WordPress community, so we've come out with a show that's going to wow them all. We've got a great guest and a lot of great news and plugins in store, and I'm darn happy to be back.
Absolutely, we do. And speaking of our guest this evening, his name is Brian Krosgaard, and he's a longtime member of the WordPress community. He runs poststatus.com. You may be familiar with that website. It's a WordPress industry site that keeps him and his readers, such as me, on the forefront of what's happening in the WordPress community. So, Brian, thank you very much for being part of the show tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's been a long time coming. Every time I try and get you on the show, it's you're like the Flash, man. I can't get a hold of you. So it's I'm very appreciative of finally having a chance to have you on the show.
It sounds like I'm your 178th priority.
That's quite possible. Hey, that's the number of the episode. How about that?
I'll take it as an honor.
So about 2 weeks ago, there was a little event in the WordPress ecosystem called Pressnomics, which is a conference that devoted to the business aspects of the WordPress ecosystem. And it was the first time I've had an opportunity to attend the event. And from what I understand, Brian, it was your first time as well. The event, this was the third time the event has taken place. And I thought I'd start the show off. Brian can help me out here just doing a recap of the event. And I'll just say, overall, I think it was very well run. It seemed like a family affair on the first day. The Strebles, Josh, Sally, Sally being Josh's wife of Paisley, and their kids were up on stage. And I don't know what the impression you got, Brian, but the impression I had was like it was a big family reunion, and they opened up they did opening remarks. It was sort of like welcoming everybody in to it's like a big family event. it was kind of weird. I haven't felt something like that at a typical WordCamp, because usually there's not a whole lot of families involved. It's just individuals or volunteers.
Yeah, they're very authentic and good people. Josh and Sally are really, really nice folks, and you know, it's kind of amazing they put on Pressnomics in addition to their duties at Pagely, and co-founders of that company. So I also missed it those first 2 years, really wanted to make it, but this is the first time they worked out, and from what I heard, the third iteration was just as good or better than the first two. So I had a lot of fun, man. It was definitely a tight-knit group, a lot of business chatter, so I enjoyed that. A little bit different vibe than a typical WordCamp, but I think in a good way for people that make their living on WordPress.
In terms of, now it was 2 days worth of sessions, all types of people were there. A couple of highlights that I really enjoyed was Ben Chan, who is the Director of Growth and Revenue at Envato, and he shared some numbers that were just sort of unbelievable in terms of the different items and different things they have on their marketplace. He ran down through a number of stats, and you know, for example, I mean, I think it's no surprise for us in the know that Visual Composer was the best-selling plugin on Code Canyon, a plugin that many theme developers loathe. They don't have, you know, it's not their favorite plugin in the world. And then the second best product is built on top a Visual Composer, so you know, go figure. And then there's a couple other ones, such as only 4% of themes in the ThemeForest marketplace have earned less than $1,000 in their lifetime, and of the top 50 selling WordPress themes in 2014, 67% are new to the list versus 2013. So I mean, there's just a whole bunch of stats there Unfortunately, I don't think he's published the slides online. I asked him about that. I'm not sure why not. I'm sure a lot of people would be interested to view those stats he put in the slides. But was really impressed by that presentation. And, Brian, I understand that you – I missed a session. I wish I didn't, but you participated or took place in a session from a gentleman that's part of Mojo Marketplace, right? Mojo Themes?
Yeah, J.R. Farr, he is a co-founder of Mojo, and they have a marketplace that is pretty similar to the way Envato operates, but they were acquired in April of 2013 by EIG, which is the umbrella company that owns massive hosts like HostGator and a whole bunch of others.
Bluehost and yeah. Almost any other host.
they're definitely the giant. EIG as a whole is bigger than even GoDaddy is. And GoDaddy has something like 12 million customers. So anyway, so now Mojo has a huge group of people that they can market to. So he was throwing out some stats as well. I logged some of those. Like they're getting 1,000 new users per day. They're launching 25,000 WordPress sites per week. And one of the things he said about that was that it seems if you're on Bluehost at least, I don't know about some of the other ones, but if you're on Bluehost, you have to use Mojo's interface in order to install WordPress. So while you're installing WordPress, you're basically getting upsold to all the other things on the marketplace. So I was kind of assuming that was where the 1,000 new users per day were coming from, is through those hosting integrations. And I know that's also integrated in cPanel, but it sounds like they've gotten well beyond that as far as the onboarding people into the Mojo.
Are they also integrating, like when you go to the plugins screen, are they just pitching things? Like, is it an app store now for their things?
I don't know if it's directly in the WordPress admin, but it may become pre-installed with some stuff. I'm not real sure. I need to sign up with an account on Bluehost and just see what the user flow is now. But I know they're working on basically integrating Mojo into that WordPress install flow and probably site management as well, as much as they can. But even still, they're really their top seller, they said, was making $65,000 a month, which I was comparing that to Avato, which is the top theme on ThemeForest, and HB Themes is top seller on Mojo. If you compare it directly to the single theme Avata from ThemeForest, it's still Avata is still about six times bigger than $65,000 a month, because that Avata theme is doing $100,000 a week now.
I read that stat on your blog post, and I said, you know what, that's a mic drop stat. You just close out with that, and it's all over.
But I mean, ThemeForest has such a massive footprint on mm-hmm. like looking for WordPress stuff, so. You know, Mojo's got a lot of room to grow, and they're definitely with the right company for scale. But what I found most intriguing about JR's talk was he spent some time talking about like trying to stay Mojo inside of like this behemoth that is EIG. And it sounded like there was a challenge with that, and you know, they're trying to maintain or create new culture within a really huge, you know, more traditional company. So I don't know, it was just a fascinating talk. He was really honest with the way he was answering questions and stuff. So that was one of my highlights as well.
Well, it just sounds like that what you just said, that's kind of a flag or an indicator that there may be something amiss, or at least internally within that giant corporation, that they may not even know what they have there.
Yeah, I think anytime when you have, I think he said EIG's 4,000 people now. So anytime you have a company that size, there's probably like all sorts of different cultures inside the company. So, I mean, I think it's just one of those things. But it sounds like he's working hard to make Mojo an exciting place within that ecosystem. And, you know, I didn't think about this until after I published a blog post about it. But, you know, the other one, Creative Market, is kind of probably the third big player in this. And yeah, they got acquired by Autodesk.
Autodesk, yeah.
So they probably are dealing with some of those same things. But they haven't really gone all in on WordPress as a marketplace. They're more of a general design marketplace, it seems. But I forgot to kind of talk about that aspect, but I'd love to see kind of how their bestsellers are doing as well and see if like the Autodesk integration has made a big difference in their business.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool for Ben Chin to come out, and Vado always touts their numbers, but I guess when you have numbers of that size, you want to tout them. And, you know, I've been wondering, well, why don't we see posts like year in reviews with Mojo Marketplace or like a Creative Market? And I think it's just the fact that, you know, they could come out and publish those numbers, but it would just pale in comparison to what Envato's doing.
Yeah, but I don't think that's a bad thing. And for reference, for anybody that's listening, if you just go to Envato.com/2014, they have this really pretty visual wrap-up of the whole year, and it's completely insane. And I actually had a beer later that night with Ben Chan from Envato, and he came on as, I think his title, what's his title, like growth person or something? I don't know.
He's director of growth and revenue.
Yeah, growth and revenue. But man, his pedigree and resume is really, really impressive. He's got experience with like Goldman Sachs and Ivy League schools. And I mean, he's a pro that they brought in. So they're serious. It's kind of impressive what Envato's created over there. I would guess that they're bigger than Automattic from a revenue standpoint.
And one of the other impressive sessions of the day for me. I stay away from SEO. I don't like talking about SEO. I don't like typing the words out, the acronym SEO. But there was a presentation by Danny Sullivan, who is the founding editor of Search Engine Land, and I found him to be incredibly entertaining, informative, and I left at the end of his session, I was really sort of at the point where, you know what, I think I'm going to open my mind up to this topic of SEO and not just automatically have this reaction of shutting it out, because what he said was very interesting in terms of what Google's doing, the algorithms, the answers, just the information he had was pretty enlightening to me in terms of how far we've come in terms of the search engine game. And the one takeaway from his presentation is that SEO is never going to die. It's just going to keep evolving. And that's just the way it is. And people are just going to have to try and evolve with it. And Danny is not, he's sort of inside, but more outside, I think, the WordPress bubble. Any big takeaways you had from his particular session, Brian?
I thought it was informative, like you said. He's been on top of the kind of SEO news game for a long time. Marcus, I think you probably know more about him than I do, but
I've met Danny. As far back as probably a decade ago, and in fact, he lives maybe only 5 miles away from me here in Southern California.
Nice. I met him afterwards, and he's a really nice guy. And I know he runs WordPress, but I think he's mostly outside the WordPress bubble, right?
Yeah, he's great. So he puts on used to put on Search Engine Strategies. Now it's SMX, Search Marketing Expo. He's the man as far as anything search engine optimization related, and he'll give it to you in straight talk. It's not just, you know, smoke and mirrors. So yes, he has searchengineland.com, but also there's a great companion site, Jeff, if you don't really want to get all SEO'd up or get any of that stink on you. Marketing Land is another site.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great. I mean, that's something that you can read just for the trends and to see what other brands and things like that are up to and not have to get all tech and search engine-y.
Excellent. Yeah, like I said, I really enjoyed his presentation. And, overall, Pressonomics was just a great event. I could tell immediately on the first night I was there, I had an opportunity to just sit at a table that had about 12 people sitting around it, and I just sat there and listened, and over here you could hear people talking about customer relationships, and over here you could talk about support systems and strategies, and over here you could talk about your people talking about pricing and updates and customer retention. It was very cool. I mean, the vibe I got from that event was that everybody on the surface is competitors in this marketplace called WordPress, but everybody was talking to each other as if, you know, they were all at had the same goal, acquiring more customers and solving customer problems with their products and services, and everybody was just sharing tips and having a good time. So overall, if you have an opportunity, if it comes around again next year, I highly recommend, if you have any inkling to get started in the business of WordPress or want to talk to some of the people who are paving the way, whether it's a dev agency or product-based business, I highly recommend you get tickets and go to Pressnomics. Is that sort of the vibe you took away as well, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, I want to speak at it next year. I've got something that I think would be perfect for Pressnomics as far as a presentation.
Oh yeah, okay. Well, I look forward to that.
Yes,
that's a good note too. Just to add on, they don't necessarily pull in the same type of speakers you'd get at a WordCamp. We talked about a couple of WordPress specific people, but I mean, you get website owners and small business owners of all sorts, and it's really a good event. I'll be there again.
And if you can't wait for Pressnomics 4, but you want to attend a WordPress business oriented conference that sort of is set up in a similar way, there's a Prestige Las Vegas happening February 27th and 28th. I'm not sure if tickets have been sold out for that yet. Check out the website. We'll have it linked up in the show notes. But that's another business-oriented conference. And I haven't been to a Prestige yet, but I'm thinking – I think they'll have one in Minneapolis again in August, and that's the one I'm thinking about going to. I want to check out how they set up their business conference.
Yeah, so, that one's by Kiko Duran, right?
Yes.
Yeah, what did they decide on for the ticket price? I know that there was some controversy over that early on.
Was that Prestige?
That wasn't Prestige. That was actually LoopConf.
You're right. Thank you for correcting me on that.
As far as prices go, all I can say is a couple hundred dollars at least.
For Prestige?
No, for LoopConf, which is LoopConf, a conference devoted to... Okay, $650. There you go.
But so many conferences. Look at how many we've just named, and we didn't even talk about a WordCamp.
Why not?
And I will say that one more thing about Pressnomics is that the sessions were not recorded, and it wasn't like a typical WordCamp, and you could tell. And I noticed that a lot of the presenters were laid back, shooting the bull with you, maybe saying some things or acting in ways that maybe they wouldn't be comfortable in doing if things were recorded. So, from that angle, that was interesting. It was just nice to have the speakers kind of laid back and just opening up to you, knowing that, you know, it wasn't going to be recorded and redistributed everywhere across the web. So Pressnomics, again, is one of those events where you have to be there to know what happened. Because if you're not, you know, all you can...
You got to rely on your tweets.
Yeah, you got to rely on my tweets or Brian's tweets or someone's tweets, the hashtag. So that's going to wrap it up. Pressnomics is a great event, but I brought Brian on here. I want to talk to him about a couple of things. You know, Brian, you've been using WordPress since 2008, so we go way back. But what's the path that led you to WordPress?
Pretty typical. I wanted to build a website, and I was Googling how to do so, and started with just regular old HTML, and I messed around with, you know, creating some HTML based, just pure HTML and probably inline CSS websites. And then within hours or days or something, I found WordPress. And interestingly enough, the first person I really stumbled on in the WordPress community was Justin Tadlock. And I went to Auburn. I was at Auburn when this was occurring. And I was looking at his about page and saw that he was an Auburn grad and lived in Alabama. So I'm from Alabama. So I was like, well, this is awesome. And I at least started lurking around the Theme Hybrid community, which is his theme shop. And all his themes are free and you just pay for access to the forums. And it was super cheap, like $25. But even still, it probably took me 6 months or a year before I made that leap.
Theme Hybrid still around and it's still super cheap.
It is. It is a little more expensive now if you decide to make it more expensive. I built with the first web agency I worked for, which I didn't go full-time WordPress until 2011. I was an industrial engineer and was selling pipe for about 3 years. But when I decided to go full-time, I actually took Theme Hybrid and Hybrid Core, which is his framework, to the agency I was working for because they really didn't have established WordPress processes. I was kind of converting them from ASP stuff to open source and WordPress. So I created a theme, and our whole agency was building like 100 websites plus a year, probably. It was about a 25-person agency doing almost 100% WordPress for new work. And so we were probably bigger than the agencies you hear about in the WordPress space at the time. But we were using Theme Hybrid for like everything. And I was telling Justin, like, dude, I have to share my login with other employees because you don't have like a multi-user program. So now he's got a way where you can have like a team account, basically, and multiple people attached to that account. So you can pay him a little more now, but I think it still is super cheap if you just go sign up as an individual. But I learned a ton from Justin. He's an awesome guy. And I dragged him to WordCamp Birmingham one time. Couldn't get him to speak, but man, he's one of the smartest people out there, and so giving with his time and his knowledge. And I just learned a ton from him in those first couple of years.
And that's sort of the indication and feeling I get from just reading his work. I mean, over the years, he's been an outstanding member of the WordPress community. He's got that knack of being able to take a complex subject and drill it down and explain it in such a way where people like me can understand it. And I think he's got that true gift of being able to break things down for people to understand them. I mean, he's got some of the most well-written tutorials out there related to WordPress subjects, and mm-hmm. like you, I've been following his work for years, and on the Tavern, at least for the past couple of years, we've run some sort of Chow theme based on Hybrid Core. I mean, right now we're using Stargazer, which is a Chow theme based on the Hybrid framework, or
it's a parent theme using Hybrid Core. His is still the smartest theme framework setup that I know of, because it's a drop-in framework for anyone to make a parent theme out of. So you don't get that child theme lock-in when the child theme has a lot of features. But anyway, Stargazer is a parent theme, and it's really got a lot of power to it. I'm actually, with the Postgres redesign I did in January, was the first time I've not used Hybrid Core on a personal project, and even still, I'm still using Get the Image, which is one of the modules in Hybrid Core. So I didn't get totally away from it, but it's a great thing. There's actually multiple theme shops, DevPress and Flagship are two off the top of my head that are using Hybrid Core as part of their own parent themes and stuff. And it's a great system, and it's good code, and it's a great way to learn if somebody's looking to make some WordPress themes.
So for a period of time, you were a contributing writer to WPCandy.com, which at one point, sad to say, was one of the most popular sites devoted to WordPress. And I only say that because...
Sad for you?
Yes, because that was during one of my low points in time of writing about WordPress. I sort of took a break. I was out doing whatever, and here comes Ryan Emel and WPCandy just moving at 100 miles an hour, and it became like the hub for people to get their fix on WordPress news. But how important was that exposure to building the following, which you eventually took to post status as a contributing writer to an established site like WP Candy was?
It was huge. I mean, I wrote on WP Candy for a couple of years. My first post was in 2010, and for WP Candy, and I probably ended up writing 130, 140 blog posts and was on some podcasts and all sorts of stuff. But, I mean, WP Candy was known as, Ryan's thing that he had people helping him out with. So I was the guy helping him out with it. And I learned a ton from that, gained a lot of exposure, started developing relationships. And when it kind of became clear that Ryan, just wasn't into doing that anymore, at least he wasn't putting his time into it the same way, I decided I wasn't really going to spend time writing there anymore, and didn't do anything for a while, and eventually was just like, man, I just can't not write about WordPress. This is how I learn. This is how I do things. So that's kind of why I started PostStatus and got back at it. And that was January 2013 that I launched PostStatus, but that was after a number of months where I was maybe writing a little bit about WordPress on my personal blog, but not on like one of the WordPress news blogs. But I've been writing WordPress news for, in some shape since 2010, so getting close to 5 years now, which is kind of crazy, and you're well beyond that, which is just mind-blowing.
Yeah, you and I have quite a few similarities in terms of our pathways leading to writing for WordPress websites, because I ended up starting, you know, how I got started was my own personal blog. I was writing about the Web 2.0 stuff, and then eventually I got hit with the WordPress bug, started writing about anything and everything that I was learning and touching upon regarding WordPress. And I don't know how he found me, who contacted him or what, but Mark Ghosh, who at the time was owner and operator of WebLawToolsCollection.com, which was the granddaddy of all the WordPress websites as far as news goes, and it was in the dashboard, and he had contacted me and said, "Hey, how'd you like to be paid to write about WordPress?" I said, "Is that possible?" you know, awesome, you know. And then I figure, hey, it's WebLawToolsCollection.com. Holy moly, what a step up for me. I ended up writing on that site for a while, and because I was able to write good quality articles on that type of website, it served as a platform, and eventually I ended up having my own following, and, you know, the certain domain became available, WP Tavern, and I had a lot of people sort of influence me and said, "Hey, why don't you start a website of your own?" I said, "Okay, seems like a good idea." So the rest is history after that. So I think it's really cool to share the story that we started, you know, in terms of writing about WordPress, we started with writing for an established website, and that sort of helped us gather a following and propel us to the next thing, which in my case was WP Tavern, and in your case, PostStatus.
Yep.
So you've managed PostStatus for a while and slowly grew its popularity after launching it after you left WP Candy. What ultimately made you decide to quit your job at Rage Inc., which you worked there for a while as a WordPress development agency, and devote all of your time and energy into the site, especially knowing that you had a baby on the way? I mean, that seems pretty crazy. What's the matter with you? That seems crazy.
Yeah, I buried the lead on that one a little bit. I wrote a blog post on my personal blog in December saying that I was leaving Range to go after PostStatus and my own business. In the bottom of that blog post, I put a note that my wife was pregnant and we're expecting our first kid in June, so we're really excited about that. We get the big ultrasound, the 21-week ultrasound tomorrow, actually. So we're really excited, and she's been incredibly supportive, which is awesome. I couldn't ask for more. But in short, as far as trying to figure out, you know, what I would do with PostStatus and if I thought it was viable, you know, I was technically the director of operations at Range, was doing a lot of work. We were a VIP partner. They still are. And I was very busy. We were hiring, bringing on new people, managing large-scale projects. And at some point, I just kind of realized, like, holy cow, I gotta figure out how I'm going to manage both things and decide if I can. And if I can't, then I got to figure out what my priorities are.
And at the time, one's making money for you. The other has no monetization strategy at all, except for your partnership with the Theme Foundry?
Yeah, I had a small partnership with the Theme Foundry that was monthly. But, you know, I've never really gone after big traffic or anything. So I knew that, like, getting a million people a month looking at my website wasn't going to be the way I was going to make money with it. So I kind of was thinking about ways I could monetize PostStatus, and I realized it was a big deal to me. I realized it was something that I wasn't willing to give up, even in the face of a considerable amount of opportunity that we had at Range and my role there. So I had teased something in September, like a potential membership model, and over time, I realized that membership model and Range couldn't coexist, not if I was working really, really long hours and hard trying to scale up with Range. And looking back on it, the amount of work I put in between my last day at Range and launch day, which was about a month long, there was no way I could have had a job during that time and shipped this thing on January 21st, which was kind of my self-set deadline.
So, Brian, I want to just kind of interrupt you while you're
sure
in that mode as far as going back in time to that particular moment in your life. Give me, just so that I know there are other listeners out there who are on the fence right now. They're working full-time jobs. They have a passion that has something to do with WordPress. And maybe there's that little voice in their head that says, no, I can't do it because this. What voices were in your head at the time trying to talk you out of it and maybe stick with the steady as far as a full-time gig?
Oh, I mean, I'd never worked here for myself even. So... Mm-hmm. I had an enormous amount of self-doubt. I think the biggest thing for me was that blog post that I wrote in September. I just went and found it, and I called it The Future of Post Status, and I was talking about what I was thinking, and I started that blog post. I said, I'm tired, really, really tired. I've been tired for weeks. And I was. But at the same time, like, I just knew I had something here. But I think for people that are just in that boat, like they're kind of balancing two things or something, for me, I got so much feedback from that post, but it wasn't just that, like, I didn't just put that post out there and get feedback. I put in 4 years of preparation for that blog post, basically. The blog post where it enabled me to get feedback, and I'm still super fortunate. I could have put 4 years and got no feedback on a blog post like that, but I was still super fortunate to get awesome feedback from people that valued what I was doing and therefore gave me the security I needed. And I followed it up with some other conversations from people, and I kind of had this feeling like I can monetize Post Status. I can do it without, like, affiliate marketing and stretching, you know, traffic, but I can do it with, like, dedicated people that are willing to be members of a website that's going to offer them something that is different from what others in the ecosystem are offering. There's not a lot of people that are catering to a WordPress professional in the same way that I was catering to. So I got enough feedback and enough companies that said, hey, we want to back you in this effort, that I felt like I can create enough upfront opportunity to sustain myself for a few months salary-wise, plus have a little bit in the bank from my wife's job and my job. And screw it, let's go for it. And on top of that, you have to balance what's the real risk. And for me, that was – okay, I have to get a new job. And the Sarah and Pete that own Range, first of all, were like, look, if this bombs and you want to come back, you're welcome back. So that's a great security blanket. And additionally to that, other people over the years had told me they'd be happy for me to work with them for X, Y, or Z. So it really stemmed from getting that exposure from blogging for free, really helped prop my career up and to a degree that I was comfortable that even if this didn't work, I had other opportunities. I could get a job. But I really wanted to make this work. You know, like, not a couple times people have tried, but nobody's really succeeded fully. Nobody's really succeeded fully about monetizing a WordPress, you know, news information site to the degree that it can support someone full or almost full time. So, you know, I just took a leap, and I think other people need to do that too. You need to look at the viability of something, but at the same time, you have to have a little bit of faith, you know, like there's no guarantees in life. So, I mean, it could be a 1 year and out thing. It all depends on how many of these people that have trusted me with their money are going to renew next year. But that's a risk I'm willing to take. So, just got to fight and provide value every day, and hopefully when they look back on it a year from now, they'll be like, man, this was totally worth it. I'm going to do it again.
And that's a valid point, too, because, you know, throughout that entire time, you've been contributing straight to the community. That's something Jeff and I talk about all the time, is, you know, being a contributor. And so from that early onset, you were involved in it, and that's what – I guess that's not only what made you an influencer within the community, that you were able to pull something like this off, but that other people, including the people that you worked with, knew what an influence you had on the community and wished you well doing it and provided you that security blanket. And I applaud you for that. That's great.
Yeah, I don't think very many people that try to put some time and energy into the WordPress community do it and then look back on it and say, man, I really regret the time that I spent on that. I think.
I don't know. You've been listening to my thoughts again, maybe. I don't know. No, I'm teasing.
I think the efforts that most people put into the community, I mean, they pay for themselves. And I think back when Matt was doing the 5% challenge concept and people, you know, were talking about that, I think people that have been putting 5% in back into things that don't have some kind of direct ROI, you know, like there's still an ROI there. It's maybe not super tangible, but you know, when you invest in others and you're not asking for a lot out of it, people remember that. And when it's your turn to come around, you're asking for support or you're asking for them to just check something out, see if it's enough value for them to invest in, they'll at least give you a look. And I think that anybody that wants to give it a go with WordPress, if they try to invest into the community when they have something that they want people to take a look at, people will take a look. That's all you can really ask.
Yeah, so, and you have to have a unique perspective in doing that, and you've accomplished that well.
Well, yeah, post status is open for business. You're charging customers for memberships. How much are you charging, and what do people get for their money?
Sure. It's there's a couple of options for what I'm charging. It's a yearly membership, so a $99 fee is the base membership. And then if you want to be a patron, then that's $365 a year.
For just $1 a day.
$1 a day.
It's like buying the paper. That's awesome.
It's buying the paper. The value for the patron versus the regular club membership, there is some there, but it's probably not like whatever 365 minus 99 is, $266 or whatever that is. It's probably not that full value. It's mostly people that really just want to support the concept. But as for the $99, one, you're supporting free content that wouldn't exist if the membership didn't and wasn't there. And then I publish a daily newsletter called Post Status Notes that so far has had well over 80% read rates and probably 30% click rates.
That's I love Post Status Notes.
Yeah. Mm. So, are you a member?
No, I've seen a couple of teasers.
I've shared a couple with you.
But I will be a member.
Good. Yes. I look forward to it. So so Notes is a daily newsletter where I'm giving just members a take on the day's news, kind of what you need to know from a variety of sources with my commentary added to it. And then throughout the year, I'll be adding resources to the sites, tutorials, you know, how-tos, breakdowns, videos, and I've got a list of stuff that I'm creating there. But that's a to be published thing. It's not there right now. That's why this is a yearly membership, not a monthly thing. And then I've got 12 corporate partners, and those corporate partners are really what helped me float the site for, you know, these first months. They're giving me my income before I knew exactly what I'd get from memberships. So that's they're offering exclusive member deals, which give people discounts. And some of those discounts alone are worth more than the membership cost. So that's pretty cool. And then the feature that has really gotten a lot of attention that I didn't expect was this directory that I've created. So there's a directory of both people and organizations, and members can create a profile for themselves, actually just enabled submissions today. So I've got 150 plus members, but the member directory doesn't look that big yet because submissions just started. People can create a little profile for themselves, and then also for organizations like WP Tavern or Automatic or TenUp or Crowd Favorite or Woo Themes. They can create an organization profile. It's just a landing page for that company. It has posts on PostStats about them. It has information to get in touch with them, their GitHub, their Twitter, all that good stuff. And what's most interesting about that is it's also a relational thing. So when I write a blog post, I can connect people and organizations. So that'll be listed the same way like a related post would normally be listed on a post. But instead, you can click on these people's profiles. And, you know, some members are getting a little a nice little bit of exposure. If I write a post about them, then they're also listed at the bottom of the thing with the link to their profile, with their website, and all that good stuff. So people have been really into that. And, you know, maybe it'll end up being one of those things where someone goes to that list to hire someone. I don't know.
That's New York Post style stuff, man.
So it's just an added feature, and it's so far people have been really into it. So I'm excited about that. And there's also a job board on the way that I'm going to be – it's only post-status jobs. It's not like I'm curating jobs from other sources. I'm just listing jobs, and I've got a lot of interest from companies that want to put kind of perpetual listings on because they're hiring quite often. So those will be $39 a month. So I'm trying to introduce the membership, the partnerships with the 12 companies that are sponsoring for the year. And then the job board's kind of a trifecta of monetary options.
So with all that.
Yeah.
So all that and more, if people call up right now, they can so what would you say to someone who doesn't see the value in what you're doing with PostStatus?
I mean, it's not for everybody. Okay. I am strictly targeting WordPress professionals and enthusiasts, and I would say extreme enthusiasts. In my daily newsletter stuff, I'm going to talk about business models, monetary stuff. I'm going to talk about products. I'm going to talk about insights to companies and things that they say and what that means, who acquired who. It's not like, you know, hey, what's X plugin and how do I install it and get it working on my site? That's not necessarily what I'm going to be talking about day to day.
I'll tell you what they're paying for, Jeff. They're paying for a filter.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm paying for because Brian's cutting out all the crap. Look, anybody can get any news about WordPress if you search long enough. It's a time factor thing. I need things condensed for me. I need things so I can absorb and consume them fast. And that's what you're doing, Brian.
Yeah, that's...
And once I become a member, it's like I'm paying Brian to be my intern.
Yeah, I mean, feel free. Take any note that I write and put it on WP Tavern. But we have different audiences, you know. You're catering to far more WordPress users than I am.
Right.
That's why we call each other frenemies. I guess we can break that news on the podcast. We even have a frenemies Skype chat that we keep open because, I mean, you're catering to a different person in the WordPress community than I am. There's overlap there for sure, but there are readers of WP Tavern that could care less what I'm talking about, and there are readers of PostStatus that could care less probably about 80% of the stuff that you're writing about on WP Tavern. That's just how it is.
Maybe 90%.
I wouldn't go that far.
So can you I know you launch day was the first day of Pressnomics. It was on a Wednesday, so it was about 2 weeks ago, I think. Can you give us any numbers about how you're doing so far?
Sure. From a monetary perspective or a member perspective?
Every perspective. Any number you got, I want to hear it.
All right. Let me so I'm looking at it right now. It looks like there's 166 people subscribed to the members only newsletter. That's from a variety of avenues. That's from patrons. That's from club members. Also did a bulk membership. So some of the bulk memberships aren't actually filled out yet. So I offered for $69 each to select companies that I invited to buy 10 or more memberships. And I had great results from that, from people that bought memberships for their companies. HumanMade, 10Up, SiteGround, a number of WordPress companies, Range, WebDev Studios, that Securi, they bought 10 or more memberships for their company, and I gave them a discount for buying 10 or more. So that had some success, and then individuals at $99 as well. So right now that's 166. I would assume, based on those that haven't redeemed yet, it's closer to 180, 190 memberships that have been paid for.
I can't wait for like 2 or 3 years from now to be able to say, yeah, you know what? I was talking to Brian about this when he only had a couple hundred people on there.
Hey, but you know, 250 is my 6-month goal. So
yeah.
I feel like I'm serious, on track, man.
This is going to grow. It is. I mean, you're going to have exponential growth in just a matter of months. I can sense it.
I hope so. I mean, if this thing reached 1,000 members, I'd be ecstatic. So revenue-wise, those people have accounted for just over $20,000 in sales. And then the memberships or the partnerships with those 12 companies are $2,500 each. So that's $30,000 that was pre-sold in year-long advertisements. So my kind of guaranteed revenue for the year currently is just over $50,000, which I think alone proves that this concept is sustainable. Because that's been 2 weeks. Hopefully I can get a couple people to sign up every week. So far it's been a couple people a day at least, sometimes a lot more than that. So, I mean, you know, I think we're on a good track. And we'll see how it goes. And we'll see how renewals go, because that's a big deal for next year, whether I convince people that this first year is worth it.
Yeah, I just think it's awesome what you're doing. I mean, I tried to do it, but I didn't have the acumen, the business acumen, to do some of the things that maybe I should have done. I mean, yeah, I sort of had the VIP program and the memberships to it, but I felt like, you know, I got to a point where I didn't feel like I was delivering the value that people were paying for. And it just ate me up inside that I wasn't able to provide that value. So one day I just prorated and refunded everybody, took it right out of the account. And I actually had quite a few people email me and go, "Dude, what's your problem? I don't care if you don't deliver value. I just want to support you and what you're doing. Take my money," which I thought was incredibly awesome. But just as who I am as a person, if I feel like I'm not delivering that value, I feel like I'm ripping people off, and it's hard to live with. That's just who I am. And, you know, I did the thing with affiliates, affiliate reviews, banner advertising, just doing things I thought was the correct way, but maybe I severely undervalued myself and my worth. But, you know, I thought Ryan Emo of WP Candy, I looked at him and, you know, he created the iOS app for the site. And I thought, who in the hell is going to buy an app for a website? Oh, turns out people wanted to do it. You know, people bought the app. And then And then I said, who in the hell would ever buy a print edition of WordPress News? Oh, turns out people want to do that, you know, with the quarterly, which ended up being the one and only. but I thought he had the design, he had the developer's acumen. If he had a problem, he could just create a solution. He was able to do that. Unfortunately, whatever happened, WP Candy fell off the wayside. But you're sort of the... I mean, you've got design talent, you've got developer's talent. I mean, if there's a problem, you just create your own solution. I think based on what I see here and plus the type of content production you have, you definitely have the best shot at finally making this a reality. And I think it's key for all of our listeners to remember out there that you have these strategic partnerships, but you are independent. You're not owned by anybody except for yourself. So your reviews and your news, your notes, your opinions, everything you write, all of your content is just based on your thoughts and your thoughts alone, and not influenced by any monetary or financial incentive outside of what you're doing. So I think that's an important thing to realize as well. And you know, congrats on a successful launch, and I hope it just goes gangbusters, man.
Yeah, man, appreciate it. That's actually why I chose to invite 12 partners, because if I did fewer, I don't want to feel like if I lose someone that it's going to influence me. And I told people, like, look, you being a partner doesn't mean you're going to get, like, fluffy blog posts, because I'm still covering these people that are partners. But they just know that I have a side of me that's the business side, and I have a side of me that's the content side. And unfortunately, I'm such a small publication that it has to be the same person being both sides, but those are two different people. And when I write a blog post, you're going to get the full fury or praise, depending on which one you deserve. And honestly, the last two times I think I wrote about a partner, neither of them was exactly fluffy. I gave a little bit of a harsh review to a WooCommerce photography extension, and I also talked about some of the woes that Yoast had with their Google Analytics rollout that they recently had. So, I mean, it's no promise what you're going to get being a partner, and they know that. It's part of the deal. And, you know, that's why they wanted to support me. It's independent journalism, and my goal is to be beholden to absolutely no one. And, you know, that's something you have to balance and work hard at, but I'm happy with where it is right now, and I think I've got a good opportunity. People have given me a heck of a chance that, you know, I'm not sure I fully deserve, but I'll take it, and I'm gonna run with it. And it's a grind, but I'm excited about it.
Well, Marcus, we got to wrap this up here because I know Brian has priorities in line for tonight. But any last questions before we let him go?
No, I just want to, you know, maybe if I could give a last selling point to the community out there. You know, there are people that pay for stock tips. There are people that pay for betting and all that other stuff out there. And if you rely on WordPress as your livelihood, this is your thing. This is what you've been waiting on. It's some, you know, inside info and things that are, like I said before, filtered for you so that you can consume these and still stay relevant within the community and what's going on. So, Brian, I wish you nothing but the best.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I like to think if I can save someone at least one billable hour in a year, then maybe they got their money's worth. But, you know, some people, it's hard to pay for things. I understand that. So I'm not going after thousands of members, but I want to serve those that do sign up as best I can.
Well, definitely enjoyed having you on the show. I want to bring you back on the show at some point in the future because there's a lot of other stuff I want to talk to you about, like WordPress journalism and just writing about WordPress in general. But that'll be for another show. But before we roll out of here, before you roll out of here because we still got work to do, give us a heads up on where we can follow you and how people can find the page to give you money.
Sure. Postas.com. Postas.com/club is the landing page where you can sign up. I'm on Twitter probably too often at Krogsgaard, or you know, just shoot me a note. I'm on WordPress Slack and all those good places too. So open line with me, guys. I'd love to talk anytime and need to reciprocate and do an interview with you guys or something. Put it on Post Status. But I appreciate y'all having me for sure.
Thanks. Excellent, man. Thanks for being here and enjoy the rest of your evening.
All right, guys. Bye.
And that was Brian Krogsgaard over there at poststatus.com. Love what he's doing over there. He's giving me a couple previews of some of the notes he's been sending out to paying members, and I love them. I mean, it's like they're beautiful. I mean, it's just information. There's no fluff on the sides of them. It's beautifully presented, and it's just the stuff I need to know about a particular news item. And as you said, Marcus, I think you summed it up beautifully by saying he's a filter. And if you need filter news items dealing with professionals, business side of WordPress things, there you go. And the information he's been dishing out so far is well worth paying for, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you know, it really sounds like Brian's getting a chance to, you know, spread his wings on his own, and there's no telling what he's going to do once this thing really takes hold. And you know, the doubts are outweighed completely in his mind, and there are so many supporters on board that, you know, this is just a machine that just is in perpetual motion. So I can't wait to see what it brings, just even as a participant in the WordPress community. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, Brian's going to go down as making history. Being the first independent news journalist in WordPress to make a living off of it. And it'll be cool to put them in the history books for that. I tried, but I said, nah, to hell with this. I just want a paycheck. So I sold out. And, hey, so far it worked out pretty damn good for me.
Yeah, well, that's called an intrapreneur, not an entrepreneur. You like being successful from the inside.
Yes, I didn't even know that was a word, but that's a pretty cool word. So before we get to the plug-in picks of the week, we do have a couple of news stories I want to get people caught up on. The first is that HumanMade has acquired Australian-based WordPress agency Senza. So Senza is based in Australia, and they were made up of about 3 employees. So now they've joined a organization that has more than 20. HumanMade is also a WordPress.com VIP partner, and Senza will actually keep its office in Australia, and it will be renamed. It would actually be the Australian hub for HumanMade, so that will allow them to work on the enterprise markets in Australia and also work on projects across India, Asia, and the U.S. West Coast. So congrats to those fellas for being acquired.
Yeah, Australia is actually a growing hub for WordPress. There are so many new Australian podcasts coming out. A lot of Australian WordPress news sites are popping up as well. I don't know what their WordCamp scene is like, but man, I'd love to go down there for that.
Well, I know they've had WordCamp Sydney, WordCamp Brisbane. I'm not sure. I have to take a look at WordCamp.org when we get through here, see if there's any WordCamps coming up. But they definitely have a WordCamp scene down there.
Yeah, so I think that's great that WordPress is even taking hold, you know, big like that. It's growth everywhere. It's great to be on top of this as it happens.
So one thing about Pressnomics is that one of the topics of discussion is that we're at this beginning stage of a consolidation period for agencies in the WordPress space. So if you look at this move, well, we're in the beginning of the year here, but I think this move solidifies the belief that acquisitions involving 10 employees or less are probably going to be more likely as we go throughout the year as larger shops look for opportunities to A, expand their reach, and B, acquire talent at the same time.
And that also means that it's worth a shot, just like how Brian did. It's worth a shot if you're one of those small agencies to make friends with some bigger agencies, and you never know what could happen.
Exactamundo. So in terms of security, today Sarah Gooding published on the Tavern blog that there's been a zero-day vulnerability discovered in the FancyBox for WordPress plugin. Now, it's not the FancyBox script, but the actual plugin in the way it's using the script. Right now, it's a persistent cross-site scripting vulnerability, and since it's zero-day, there hasn't been time to write a patch. If you're using it, please disable it. I'd almost want you to deactivate it and delete it until there's an update published. But keep tabs on it. We'll have keep you updated on the Tavern. At the time of recording this, there has been a patch released, but the author does appear to be aware of the issue. And last time I checked, it was delisted from the plugin repository, so people won't be downloading it and getting the infected version. So we'll have to see what happens within the next few hours here. Hopefully he gets on top of it and pushes an update out there, because it's already in the wild and people are already exploiting it, because that's just how these things roll.
Yeah, always look at that. This is the way. This is the way of the future. You know, if you haven't had something updated within a couple of days, look at the huge vulnerabilities out there. It's amazing. So, I would definitely check. Just look at all your installations just to make sure you don't have anything like this installed.
And last but not least, BuddyPress 2.2 Spumoni. There's actually a pizza joint called Spumoni. Has been released. It features a new member type API, so developers can use this to create different user types, for example, student, teacher, etc. There's also custom post type support added to the activity stream, and there's a lot of other improvements and fixes. Now, this release also adds support for Composer, and BuddyPress will soon be listed at packages.org. Now that the official release is out. So there's a number of several, take your pick, bug fixes here for the version, and it's great to see our 50K being put to good use here. Yes, it's a good start. It's only February, and boom, we got a new version of BuddyPress out there. So congrats to Triple J and everybody else involved with the improved release of BuddyPress 2.2. So go ahead and grab it once you've heard about it here on the show. All right, and that's going to do it for the news. We got one more segment to get through here before we wrap it up. And Marcus, why don't you give us you've had 2 weeks now, so you better have some good plug-in picks of the week.
Oh, I've got some fun ones here for you, Jeff. These are all pretty much brand new, hot off the press. So it's unlikely you've heard of these before. Much like the new BuddyPress user capabilities, this first plugin is called User Roles and Capabilities. It lets you manage and modify different user roles, and it really just lets you kind of create, delete, clone user roles. You can control everything from just one screen, and the nice thing is there are safeguards in place that prevent you from modifying any administrator role, but this is pretty good as far as modifying the back end of WordPress so that your users, specifically things like clients or customers or things like that, can only get into the sections that you need them to get into. So it's a great way to kind of restrict roles and capabilities. And
that's exactly what it's called, User Roles and Capabilities. Great new plugin.
Awesome.
Next one is called WP Style Kit. It's a plugin that adds additional features in the custom style sections of your visual editor within the WordPress post edit screen. And it's got really nice, beautiful looking custom styles. It lets you do, instead of like the typical, you know, a paragraph formatted H1, H2, this lets you do things like headlines, custom bullets, circles, quotes, and huge call-out boxes just by highlighting the text, going up to that particular section, and choosing an additional custom style. So it's really quick, really easy way to do things and make your posts look really cool without having to do a lot of weird short code lookups or anything like that.
Visual editor on steroids.
That's right. This third plugin, and actually the fourth plugin I'm going to talk about today here, Pet Adoption Listings. Pretty cool one. It's for a good cause. It lets you embed via short code the nearest animal shelter. So you specify an animal shelter ID on adoptapet.com, and it shows like this iframed widget. You can even specify what breed of dog that you'd like to display on the sidebars. So it's a great way to promote pet adoption, and you know, I'm all for that. And speaking of adopting old unwanted pets, Jeff, Login Joomla Users is a new plugin coming out. It lets you log in migrated users from Joomla to WordPress. And it's been tested on 4.1 with users migrated from Joomla to 5.9. And so what happens is you can just migrate all your old Joomla users over to WordPress. So if you've been on the fence, all you Joomla listeners out there who may be listening to the Tavern and just haven't made that leap yet, this is it. You can migrate all your people to WordPress and give them a great content experience instead of that crappy Joomla site you've been selling them.
Oh, jeez.
And those are my plug-in picks of the week.
Oh, boy. If we don't get some emails for that one, I'm not sure. So, awesome. So that's a pretty neat little plug-in. And speaking of emails, it's 2015. We're at a new year. We don't have any reviews on iTunes yet for the show, WordPress Weekly, in 2015. So if you could, please take a few moments out of your day, either while listening to the show or whenever it's most convenient to you, and give us a review on iTunes, whether it's good, bad, indifferent, I don't care, just as long as you give us a review and let us know how we're doing. Very much appreciate it.
Yes, it does help us tremendously in the rankings, and that's a big deal. If somebody goes into iTunes and hits WordPress, you want WordPress Weekly to show up right there on the front screen. So help us out, please.
That will be most excellent. And with that, that's the end of the show. I'm working towards getting Matt Mulliwag on the show, which if all goes well, we're looking at sometime in March. I am also working on getting James Laws of Ninja Forums onto the show. That would be a great show. Talk about how he's evolved in the forum marketplace within the WordPress ecosystem. And there's a couple other people I have slated as well. So it's going to be a busy time of year for us. And looking forward to it. Looking forward to keep busy. And I hopefully next week I'm even better than today, because, boy, that was nasty. If once you get sick, that's just – I don't wish that on anybody. But Marcus, great to be back here doing another show with you. And, hey, what can I say? This wraps up another edition of WordPress Weekly, and you can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on wptavern.com. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro. That's JeffR0. And, Marcus, how about yourself? Just in case I want to stalk you, because I'm your biggest fan.
Yeah, come on over. You can go to marcuscouch.com, which is my website, and if you would please sign up to my mailing list. I periodically send out some nice business advice for people that run WordPress businesses. You can also follow me on Twitter at marcuscouch.
Excellent. So until next week, have a safe and enjoyable weekend, everyone. Talk to you later.